Wow. We got a lot of people out today. A lot of folks are sick. We got some who have been sick that are back with us. We have confined some of them. We've quarantined some of them in the back so they can keep their germs to themselves. Although Pat declares that she is totally germ-free, I'm going to stay away from her for a while. I'm not hugging on her yet today. But it is great to have all of you here with us today. We got a lot of folks that are out sick. This flu is going everywhere. Please keep those folks in your prayers. Last week we started talking about excellence in worship, and our focus last week was on what we do in here. As we gather together as a church, as a family, there's certain things that we do and try to focus on in our worship together. As we said last week, we enter into the throne room of Almighty God. That we were trying to picture ourselves, as the writer of Hebrews is saying, we were comparing the worship under the old law and how scary and fearful it was. And even Moses would say that he was scared, to what we have today in being able to approach the throne of grace with confidence and enter into the very throne room of Almighty God, and how wonderful and what a great blessing that really is to us. And the fact that we are in and we have a kingdom, we're part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken at all. This kingdom that is the church, by the way. Okay? And so this morning, as I told you last week, this is a two-part lesson. So this morning we're going to be talking about what do we do in terms of excellence in worship when we leave here. Okay? It's one thing for us to gather together as family and to worship together and to enter into that throne room and how great that really is, but then we have to leave from here, don't we? And we leave from here and we go home and we go, you know, to our jobs and we go to school, we go to all the different places, the stores, you know, all the places that we go throughout the week. And what does worship have to do with that? Well, I want to encourage you to turn in your Bible over to Romans chapter 12 and the text that we read as we began this morning. And we'll talk about excellence in our worship out there. Okay? And I'm going to try to keep my voice working for me this morning. Now, this particular text, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, begins with one of my favorite words, if you haven't figured that out by now. Okay? One of my favorite words, therefore. That's right, Jill, therefore. Now, again, the thing that we have to keep in mind when we read that word therefore, what is it focusing on? All the things that have been said before the things that he's getting ready to say. And in this particular case, it's really significant because what he's getting ready to tell us really is focused on not just the previous few verses, but almost everything that he's written in this letter up till now. Okay? If you go back and you just kind of thumb through and you look at some of the things that Paul has written about in this letter up to chapter 12 and verse 1, up to therefore, you know, he's written about God's grace and mercy. Primarily, that's the main part of the theme of the whole letter of the book of Romans. You say, is God's grace and mercy. And he talks about folks like Abraham and how God chose him, and it was all about God's grace, not about Abraham's great life that he lived. You see, it talks about God's plan to include the Gentiles in salvation, which again is God's mercy, isn't it? You see? And he talks about a lot in the previous chapters of this letter about how the fact that we are saved by grace and that none of us deserve salvation. But the reason that we are saved is because of God's grace and mercy. Okay? And so If you look at all of those previous statements, and then look at the statements just prior to therefore, okay? It really has a lot to do with this therefore statement and what's coming after it with who we are and who God is. Look at what he says here, beginning in verse 33. And these are quotes from a few different Old Testament passages here. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." So basically it's kind of a, who can call God to account? Who can be justified in calling God to account or saying that God owes them something? Who knows the mind of God? Who's able to understand everything that God is? Nobody. Okay. What does God owe us? Nothing. Therefore, okay, therefore, he says, "I beseech you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto God." Based on all these things that he said previous and focusing on how merciful God has been to his creation, the call is for us to return to God what is due him. When we keep God's mercy in view, the idea here that Paul wants us to understand is how can we refuse him? When you really stop and you consider how merciful God has been and who we are and who He is, how can we refuse to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to Him? How can we grumble about serving Him in view of His mercy? In view of His mercy, how can we not do what God has called upon us to do? For when we keep God's mercy in view, we recognize and accept that without that mercy, we are doomed to destruction. And I think that's why he begins this part of this letter with that statement, therefore. Keeping the mercy of God in your view, in other words, all these things that he's just been writing about, here's what our response ought to be. Living sacrifices. Offer your bodies, he says, as living sacrifices. Well, why that kind of phraseology? What does he really mean here by us being living sacrifices? Well, first of all, I think we need to understand his intention here is for us to look at the contrast between, again, like we did last week, the worship under the old law versus the way that we are to worship God today. Under the old law, the sacrifices that were made were basically dead animal sacrifices, weren't they? See? And those sacrifices were given, and there were certain rules and regulations, and everything was ritual. It all had to be followed a certain way in order for those dead animal sacrifices to be offered so that they would be acceptable to God. But the contrast is for you and I today, as living sacrifices, we're living because we have been raised to life in Christ Jesus, first of all, if we belong to Him. We are a living sacrifice, you see. And look over in Ephesians chapter 2 with me for just a moment. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5. And you find out something about yourself if you didn't really already know this, or maybe you've forgotten. Paul says, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, as for you, and that's he's talking to all of us here, okay? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, okay, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Verse 4, but because of His great love for us, God who is rich in, what's the word there? Mercy, okay? Isn't that what we're talking about here? In view of God's mercy? God who is rich in mercy made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So you see, when we look at and consider our position without God's grace and mercy, we were dead. We were no better off than the animal sacrifices offered under the old law. But in view of God's mercy, look what we have going for us, you see? Look what we have going for us. God, who is rich in mercy. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul there says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's why we're able to consider ourselves to be living sacrifices, because we're no longer dead in our sins if we have accepted Christ Jesus. We're not dead, therefore we can't be dead sacrifices. Instead, we are alive in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, now because you are alive through the grace of Christ Jesus, you need to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And it's living also because it is our way of life now. In other words, a living sacrifice isn't just something that simply because we're breathing air, you say, and our heart's still beating, we're physically alive, but rather it speaks of the way that we are to be living out our daily lives. You see, a living sacrifice is something that is going on continually in our lives. In other words, it's not enough, you see, it's not enough for us to do just what we talked about last week, for us to come here on Sunday mornings, the first day of the week, and worship God. That's not enough. See? It's not okay to be a Sunday morning only Christian. See? It's not okay to go to church on Sunday and live like the devil the rest of the week. It's not okay. Why? Because in view of God's mercy, when we keep God's mercy in view, we will not allow ourselves to do that, you say. How can I turn away from God on Monday morning, you say, and live how I want to live all through the week if I'm keeping God's mercy in my view? How can I do that? You see, a living sacrifice is that which we live out in our lives when we leave this place. And as I said as we began, when we go to our jobs, or we go to school, or we go to the market, to the grocery store, or to the auto parts dealer, or wherever it is that we go throughout the week, that when we are keeping God's mercy in view, that cannot help but affect all of our interactions with the people that we come in contact with from Monday to the following Sunday. We worship God together in here. And we get our boost and our, you know, our uplifting and all of those kinds of things, which is great. That's a great aspect, as we talked about last week. But that's not enough. If we don't take what we do in here as we enter into the throne room of Almighty God, if we don't take it from here out there, then it really means absolutely nothing. Because God requires a living sacrifice. See? And that speaks of our service. And He deserves that, does He not? In view of His mercy, does He not deserve our service every day of our lives? Let me repeat that because apparently you didn't hear me. Does He not deserve that? Because of His mercy in our lives every single day. You see. And so when Paul is calling upon us, in view of God's mercy, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, it has less to do with what we're doing right now in here, every first day of the week, what we do, and it has everything to do with what we do when we leave here. The daily steps that we take in our lives. And then Paul calls this our spiritual worship. Okay? This is your spiritual act of worship, he says. You see, under the old law, the animal sacrifices were their spiritual act of worship. See, that they would, as I mentioned a moment ago, they had certain rituals and certain rules that they had to require. What kind of animals could be offered and when those animals had to be offered and how specifically the animal was to be offered. Everything had a certain way that it was to be done and every act was prescribed by the law. You see? That was spiritual worship under Moses. But spiritual worship now includes us offering our whole life to God. It really does take worship from this room and what we do in here. It takes it out there. It takes it into our home, in our relationship as husbands and wives and parents and children. And neighbors and co-workers and bosses and employees and all of those aspects. It takes it out of here from the throne room of Almighty God and into our daily lives. The Apostle Paul helps us to understand that when we keep God's mercy in view, we understand one really important basic principle, and that is we don't belong to us anymore. We belong to God. And in view of His mercy, I don't belong to me anymore. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, the context that Paul is writing those things has to do with sexual immorality, with fornication and those kind of things. But certainly, it applies to all the other aspects of our life, doesn't it, in what we do with our body? If it doesn't, then I need somebody to explain to me why not. You see? That the call is for us to recognize that we don't belong to ourselves anymore, that Christ, through His blood, purchased us. So He owns us now. And therefore, the way that I live in my life, I need to be offering that as a sacrifice to Him, the way I live in this physical body from day to day needs to be my spiritual act of worship to Him. Now, okay, if we understand that and we accept that and we go, okay, I understand that, you know, I got to keep God's mercy in view, and because of God's mercy, I need to be living my life each day for Him, then the next question perhaps is, okay, how do I do that? How do I do that in a very practical way? Well, in the next several verses, in fact, the next couple of chapters of the book of Romans, this letter, Paul answers and addresses that very question. If you look in verse 2 there of chapter 12, the very next statement he makes is, okay, if I'm to offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God, which is my, what, spiritual act of worship, the very next thing he says is, do not conform to the patterns of this world. In other words, don't live like the world is living. Don't do what the world is doing. Well, I want to know, how do I offer my body as a living sacrifice? Well, stop living like the world's living. It's that simple. If you see that what the world is doing and you see what they're doing is wrong, I need to go the other way. You say, the only way that I'm ever going to really do that, he says, the next part of that is that I need to change the way I think. Because I'll never stop living the way the world's living as long as I think that it's okay to do so. So I need to change the way I think. And it may be acceptable to the world to go to certain places and to do certain things and to see and to watch certain things and to wear certain kinds of clothes and to do all of those kinds of things that are acceptable to the world. But I need to change my thinking and not conform to the way the world is doing things. And then if you go down through and you look at chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14 and the first part of chapter 15, he's telling us in some very practical things how he wants us to be living our lives. And that is how God wants us today, under the law of Christ, to be worshiping Him in our daily lives. That's how we truly become a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing unto Him. God does not want, He does not require, and there are no guidelines, there are no rules, there are no anything like there were under the law of Moses for us to offer animal sacrifices today. That's all gone. Instead, what He requires of us is to offer ourselves a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing unto Him. And that is, again, as I said, it's not as much what we do in here as it is what we do when we leave here. It's our daily life, our daily thoughts, our daily actions. Okay? So in a sense, it's kind of what we do from, you know, Sunday to Sunday, so to speak. When we step out of the throne room of Almighty God and we go through our daily lives, the sacrifice does not stay in the throne room of God, because we are the sacrifice. And we take ourselves into the world and we continue daily to offer ourselves to Him in the way that we live. Those are the kinds of things that I think will help us as a church, say, to be striving for excellence in our worship of Almighty God. Striving for excellence, again, as we talked about last week, as we gather together as a family and we enter into that throne room of Almighty God and we worship and praise Him together, in the songs that we sing, in the prayers that we offer, in the study that we do, especially in the communion that we partake of. That we recognize ourselves in His throne room, and so everything that we do, we strive to do it more excellently. And that's not as much in my mind as in terms of the technical aspects of how we're doing something as it is that we're doing it from the heart. But then the other part of it is that when we take it from here and more excellently we live our daily lives for Almighty God. That's what our challenge is. That's what our call is for us as a church to be more excellent in our worship of Almighty God. We're getting ready to sing a song here in just a moment. And the Lord's invitation is open. And then while we're singing this song, it may come to your mind, you may be thinking already that maybe I have not been worshiping God in my life the way that I need to, that my life has not been the kind of living sacrifice that it needs to be. That maybe there are some things in there that you're wrestling with Satan over that you know have got to get out of there. Maybe you need some help with that. And that's what we as a family want to do, because we worship together, and what we all do out there affects what goes on here too in a certain way, because we're all part of the same family. So if you need some guidance, some encouragement, some prayers, you need forgiveness of sin in your life, then that's a great opportunity to have those things. If someone here this morning that's not a Christian yet, you're ready to give your life to Christ, and you recognize that Jesus is Lord, and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, you can do that right now this morning. You can become His child, and you can receive His grace and mercy that He's offered through the blood of His Son, Jesus. And if that's what your desire is this morning, all you have to do is come up and let me know. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up front, and Ted will be in the back to receive anyone who would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. So let's stand together and sing. Wes?